Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Make sure you go check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. All the shows that I do on a daily basis from the Tuttle Daily Podcast can be found there, as well as my nightly live streams. I did two live streams yesterday, so if you get a chance, go check them out. One, I went down and tried to feed the squirrels pork rinds. Did not work out too well, as well as one of my late night live streams. I don't want people to think, since I'm pushing the YouTube channel, that I'm just going to go away from it. I'm not. I am still dedicated to doing the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I worked on cleaning out the studio, working on that shed. I don't know. After today, really not too sure how much longer we're going to be here. So I might want to hold off on that a little bit. And I'll tell you guys why. I definitely will tell you guys why. Let's see. See, John now is driving by. I want to see what this guy has to say. He ended up coming by to our house because my mom ended up writing a check to get caught up on rent here at the Hobo Fish Camp. Now, I don't know if you guys realize this. It is hot as F here in Florida right now. And I don't want to keep the door open. He said he needed the check rewritten. Like, it was the right amount. It was such and such, such and such. And she, like, forgot to put the 300 in there. That's included, like, you know, how you have to write it out so people cannot, like, change the numbers around and stuff. It just makes it a lot harder for people to, you know, like, clean checks or wash them. Kind of like in that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, Catch Me If You Can. But he comes up, and I said, yeah, I'll take care of it. And I go to close the door, and you know what he does? He grabs the door and will not let me shut the door. And I'm just like, I don't know why that rubbed me the wrong way. And I would like to hear from you guys. Like, would that have bothered you? Like, if you're a landlord, what it came by. Now, keep in mind that we don't own an apartment. We actually own the trailer itself. We're just renting the lot. Now, am I the only one that took that? Like, that really, really pissed me off. And I know that I probably should not have let it bother me as much as it should. But I would like to hear from you guys. Email me, tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail, 407-270-3044. And it's not, look, okay, for one, we got to pay for the electricity here. I didn't want any of the cold air getting out of the house. And I'm not going to sit there and let you hold the door open while my mom writes out another check. He would not leave. And I said, John, listen, I'm not trying to be rude, but I just don't want to let all the cold air out. And then he like, well, I'm trying to save you, you know, $35 on the bounce check fee. I'm like, no, John, look, honestly, for number one, you are responsible for looking at all the checks before you go down and deposit them and make sure that they're right. Matter of fact, when my mom, this was the same day that I got bit by those hornets. That was a week ago. You know, like, I hate people that hold on to checks for a really, really long time. Because that also does kind of throw your count off a little bit. You know, I know that stuff is all automated now, and you can look and you can see what is cleared, what hasn't cleared. But the whole thing is, it just really, really rubbed me the wrong way when he grabbed the door and almost acted like he was going to come in. Like, I don't want you guys to think I'm just looking for a reason, but, like, literally, I would have been in all my rights to to defend myself if he would have crossed the threshold. Matter of fact, his arm did cross the threshold. And the thing is that I don't know. I know a lot of people are going to be like, you just need to chill out, Tuttle. But I just know that my dad would not have been cool with that. Like, seriously, he would not have been cool with that at all. For you to grab the door as I'm trying to close it. And I was like, look, I'll be right back. I'm going to get you another check. I'll write it out and just have her sign it. And I was going to do that. But no. He had to grab the door and leave it open. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know. Like, I mean, I could have went off on him, but I didn't. I just said, look, I'm not trying to be rude, man, but, like, I don't want to keep this door open and let the cold air out. That's all. But, I mean, in the eyes of the law, the Castle Doctrine, like, you are not supposed to be opening, and I'm not saying I do not put words into my mouth and try to say that I was, you know, thinking of doing other stuff. No, that's definitely not the case at all. I'm just saying, it kind of pissed me off. Anyways, want to get into my first audio news story of the day. Also got another personal story that I'm going to talk about later on in the second break. Kind of think I put two and two together and figured out why I did not get that gig up in Atlanta. Now, I could be like other radio hosts and blame stuff on other people, and I'm not going to do that. I just, in a roundabout way, I am going to say some stuff without saying some stuff, and I'll leave it at that. But the first audio news story I'm going to play, and this is nothing but clickbait, because as soon as I saw this story, cop sticks flashlight in a carjacker's butt, I was like, oh, I can't play this audio fast enough, but it ended up being nothing but clickbait. It really did. And when you hear this story, I am going to explain to you why I have absolutely no problem with what this cop did up in Chicago.
The Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman.
Am I the only one that thinks as soon as they heard Wilfredo Roman, then like a dish that you would order from an Italian restaurant? Yes, sir. Can I ask a quick question? How is the Wilfredo Roman? Is it good? I mean, do you guys put a lot of cheese in it? Do you guys use a white sauce or red sauce in your Wilfredo Roman? I really would like to know because it sounds delish. It sounds nom. And yes, I said nom on purpose.
Facing two felony charges for this incident, which occurred back in February. His attorney, however, says he's innocent. He says the officer was following his training and was trying to de-escalate an otherwise dangerous situation.
Like I said, the story ended up being nothing but clickbait. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to de-escalate a situation where I'm all fired up and like you want to calm me down or get my attention, I don't know if it would calm me down, but if you stuck a flashlight in my anus, it's going to get me to stop whatever I'm doing that you're trying to get me to stop doing. Matter of fact, I say get rid of the flying fishhook tasers. I say this should be common practice because we are looking for non-lethal ways to subdue like perpetrators or convicts and stuff like that, correct? Yes. We now, instead of batons, we let the cops carry around baton dildos. Already pre-looped. It's not like we're going in dry on these suspects. But I'm telling you right now, like instead of getting tased, and then you're trying to get the cuffs, and then you're like, all right, pull out the baton dildo, and you like were able to put it in somebody's buttocks. Yeah, trust me, they would be subdued. It would get their attention very, very quickly.
His attorney says Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman is a highly decorated officer who has never been disciplined in his 21 years on the force. As of this afternoon, Roman is free to go back to work after being released on a $5,000 I-bond. In court, prosecutors described his alleged crimes. After two suspects jumped out of a car they allegedly stole, officers gave chase and took them into custody. While other officers adjusted the handcuffs on a 17-year-old suspect identified by the initials ZK, prosecutors allege Roman approached him. Defendant yelled for ZK to shut up. Defendant then approached ZK from behind and shoved his flashlight into his clothed behind.
Okay, listen. Who hasn't had one of their buddies, like, with clothes on, come behind you and do credit card, and then they would slide their hand over, not in between your bare ass, but like if in your shorts or your pants. Well, just, I know that it's a little, you know, might be a little gay sounding to some people, but what I'm saying is they've all done that. Go up, credit card. Or, you know, like when I used to play baseball, cup check, you just go by and go bam, and you would just try to hit them right on the tip of the penis. But yeah, I really don't. This news story was titled, like, they made it seem like they penetrated the suspect. No, I have no problem with this guy taking the flashlight with his clothes on. There's no way that there would have been any penetration. I mean, all depending on how hard you would do it. I mean, it would still maybe hurt a little bit. But once again, I mean, everybody wants to talk about cops being, you know, using deadly force. I have no problem. And trust me, those big mag lights that I swear to God, if you can somehow easily take one of those big mag lights, per se, then you might kind of like it if you get what I'm trying to say, because we're talking very thick and very long with the flashlights that the police officers carry. So what I'm trying to say is that there is no way that a mag light that most law enforcement officers carry was going to penetrate this kid's behind if it's over close. Just not happening. Might not feel comfortable, but I still have absolutely no problem with this at all. It's not like these kids were doing something that was just a minor crime. No, they stole a car. It was a carjacking.
And later, as the suspect was being led away, Roman allegedly said, "That's what you get for carjacking."
All right, guess what? We still have, they're not saying, I'm just guessing, these are probably black youths. Or it could be white use. You know what? I regret saying that. But what I'm trying to say is, though, what would you guys rather have? Another dead black kid, teenager, or just in general, a young just kid being shot with deadly force, or get a flashlight on the outside of the clothing jammed in to crack your butt? Like I said, as long as it, we're not talking, because the other big story, remember, back in the day in the 90s, they made a big deal about the cops sticking the plunger in some dude's butt. Now, that was closed down. Now, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. But a flashlight, like I said, big mag light flashlight, would actually, I don't have a problem with it. Depending on how hard he did it, I mean, it could cause some issues. Maybe the start of an hemorrhoid or something like that. But once again, the teenager is still alive.
A number of uniformed officers appeared in bond court in support of the lieutenant. His attorney says Roman committed no crime.
He is an innocent man. He is an outstanding Chicago police officer, highly decorated. He's fully committed.
The small flashlight, the attorney says, never penetrated the suspect's skin and caused no injuries. He says the carjackers committed the only crimes that night, and the lieutenant was trying to de-escalate the situation and had no intention of hurting anybody.
Speaking of Chicago and PD, I don't know how many of you guys have watched the TV show. I got to tell you, during the pandemic, me and my dad, before he passed away, we did not miss an episode of Chicago PD. Absolutely love that show. And the main character, Hank Voight, you would be begging for the butthole flashlight gimmick over some of the stuff that Hank Voight from Chicago PD would do. Like, when they say, bring him down to the cage, you know something's about to happen. I remember in one of the episodes, he's putting on gloves, and he pulls out this gun, and it doesn't have any bullets in it. He just throws it at the guy in the cage, and the guy grabs it with his hands, and he was like, yeah, wouldn't it be a shame that if you went for my backup piece, and you got that, and you fired a shot off at me, and then, you know, I had to shoot you. Yeah, that guy really woke up. I mean, the show is completely unbelievable. Pretty much every case that they ever, like, tried to solve would get overturned because of forced admissions of guilt. But it's still a pretty goddamn great show. That's why I said you would be begging for the BH flashlight all day.
It is the second time in as many days Chicago police officers have faced aggravated battery charges. Just yesterday, officers Victor Guerrera and Jeffrey Schaefer were in court for allegedly punching a 17-year-old suspect in January.
I mean, back to this. I think what the last two officers did by punching the person in the face was far worse than the BH flashlight over the top of the clothes. So what I'm trying to say is, once again, clickbait by the news. Once again, frivolous lawsuit by the public. Once again, two carjackers now are pleading and trying to act like they're the victims when you weren't cooperating. What, would you rather these two teens get shot or get the BH flashlight? BH flashlight. I mean, there's no debating it. BH flashlight all day.
Well, the two teenage suspects involved in the alleged carjacking are still facing charges in juvenile court. Police say they recovered a weapon those suspects used in the carjacking.
All right, guys. Yeah, I know that I was trying to shock jock it a little bit with that news story, but I still thought it was a pretty funny news story. I think it was over the top. Once again, I do think it was clickbait. But I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to get into why I think that I did not get that gig up in Atlanta, the number 8 market in the country. And I'll tell you why coming up next without telling you why. Because, once again, don't want to be known as that guy that burns bridges. Because that's how I get painted. I always get painted as a bad guy. And now I'm just rambling. Now I'm the rambling bad guy. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir.
If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in Volusia, Brevard, or Flagler counties, you need to reach out to Ian Hanna at ianhannahomes.com. On his site, you can learn more about Ian's use of premium photography and aggressive marketing to sell your home quickly and painlessly. So if you're a first-time buyer and not sure where to start, connect with Ian at ianhannahomes.com.
Questions, comments, concerns, compliments, or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I want to thank my newest sponsor, ianhannahomes.com. If you're in the market to buy or sell a house in the Flagler, Volusia, Brevard area, check out, and please, just do me a favor, check out ianhannahomes.com. The guy's a really, really great guy. He's put a lot of faith and time into wanting to work with me, and I want to get that first call to him in. So if you know anybody that's in the market to sell or buy a home, even if it's a friend, a coworker, tell them, hey, heard about ianhannahomes.com on the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Why don't you check him out? Because the guy does really, really great work. And he has been doing a lot of drone and aerial footage. So, like, if you're wanting that little spice to kick it up and have some great video to be able to sell your home quick and fast because you got a new job, go to ianhannahomes.com. Now, before the break, I talked about I was gonna bring up why I thought that I did not get that job in Atlanta. And you know what? Not gonna do it. Not going to do it. For the people that know, they just know. Think of the city, which was Atlanta, and then think of who would be on my resume, and I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that. Because you don't have an hour-long conversation with somebody especially a program director, because program directors do not like for their time to be wasted. And I'm sure that he had the conversation and he called a certain person that you would think that would be included. I included everybody. Every single person that I have ever worked for in radio, even Dean and Darby, Dean Muccio and Darby, I even mentioned them when I worked at Magic 107.7. So what I'm trying to say is that make sure, just, just connect the dots. Who would I have worked for and who would have some type of, power over me in the Atlanta market? And I'll leave it at that. Not going to call out any names. Could be anybody. Could be anybody. I've worked with a lot of people that are from Atlanta, born and raised. So I'm really not calling anybody out. I'll just let you guys, figure it out and come to your own conclusions. One of the things I did want to talk about, I talk all the time about the landlord here at the Hobo Fish Camp, but there are some landlords that I actually really do feel bad for. And I think what really, really sucks is that we have a lot of these landlords that now they can't kick people out because of the pandemic, the 6 month stuff, and now they're having a really, really hard time at getting these people out. And I think the real thing is that we need to look at the banks. Does everybody forget what happened in 2008 when it came to the banks and we bailed them out because of all the bad loans and stuff that they were in? For some reason, I'm feeling like this is deja vu. I really, really do not know if I've talked about this or not, because this next story that I wanted to play for you was of a woman that has three homes, and she's now homeless herself because she cannot get any of her tenants out of the three houses she owns. Now, look, I understand that the landlord, everybody forgets about the landlords. We forget about the tenants. Why are the banks not being told that, all right, you're not going to be collecting any money from the tenants or the landlords, so you just need to wait your time? Do you remember what we did for you back in 2008? Yeah. You might want to put that shit on hold, buddy, because we helped you out. Now you need to do something for us. But that's not the way that it works. We all know that. We all know that our government is going to always bail out the banks. They don't give a damn about us. They don't give a damn about the landlords. They don't give a damn about the tenants. We are nothing to them, and it's a very bad, very, very sad state of affairs, if I'm just being honest.
Tonight, we've learned a shocking number from the Treasury Department. Nearly 90% of the almost $50 billion allocated by Congress for rental assistance has not been distributed.
By the way, our governor Ron DeSantis, has not released any of that money. Where is it, DeSantis? Where's the goddamn money that is to be able to help out people? Especially after my dad dying, they ended up taking out his Social Security out of the bank account and stuff. So what about the people that have been paying taxes and taxes and taxes all their lives, and now you guys are just holding up that money? Give me a goddamn break, man. Get off the money that the government, the national government, gave you. The governors need to get off of their cheap asses and turn some of that cash loose.
Now, that money is meant for landlords whose tenants have stopped paying rent and cannot be evicted during the pandemic. CBS's Mola Lenghi reports in depth on the consequences for landlords in America's eviction crisis.
Brandy Lacoste has been waiting on rent for nearly a year.
I've cried many nights, thinking, where's my money?
Lacoste owns three properties in upstate New York, but the single mother, an Air Force veteran, is functionally homeless after falling on some hard times.
Seriously, where is this money going to? We're talking about a veteran of our United States military, can't get her money, the money that's supposed to go to the tenants, and then the money that the tenants get is supposed to give to the landlord, so the landlords can just turn around and give it to the banks. I just don't get it. I don't understand why more and more Americans are not just absolutely just pissed the F off over this whole situation. Look, I know that people have fallen on hard times. I do think that people need a little bit of time to get their feet from underneath them because everything was closed down. Everybody got furloughed. Everybody got let go. But you also got to think about the landlords as well, too. The landlords deserve some type of clemency. And guess who's not getting the clemency? The landlords aren't either. Guess who's getting the clemency? You got it right. The banks. The banks are the ones that are getting the clemency, and they don't have to make sure that their money's due on time. No, they want their money, even though the taxpayers, I mean, it's a big Tijuana butt fuck. It is. It is a big Tijuana BF on the whole situation because now all the money that we've been paying in taxes, that's our money. That is our money that's supposed to be given to the tenants. So the tenants can give it to the landlords and landlords can give it to the banks. But no, no, that's not how it works in America. God, land of the free and just free to get just bent over and stuck it right up your keister.
Lacoste says after notifying tenants they had to move out so she could move in, they simply stopped paying and stayed put. She and her daughter have been living out of her car and staying with friends.
All right, so if it is your house, okay, you can't kick them out, but can't you just go into your own house? Can't you just, like, set up a cot right in the corner of the house? Like, if they don't want to leave, guess what? It's still your house. Move in there. Be the biggest slob. Be the biggest, just obnoxious person that you can be. Until you annoy them enough, until they leave. That's exactly what I would do. All right, hey, I can't kick you out, but guess what? You can't keep me from coming in here and living here. I mean, it's a different story. I know that I talked about it earlier with the guy that owns the place here. We actually own this trailer, okay? We actually own the trailer. You're not allowed in there. You're not. You're not allowed in there. But when you own a home, I think as a landlord, you can go in and do spot checks and stuff like that. So go in, just do a spot check, set up a little mattress or blow-up mattress, put it in the corner, and just don't leave. Just like how they're refusing to leave, you don't leave as well.
Despite more than $23,000 in unpaid rent, Lacoste can't force her tenants out because of state and federal moratoriums on evictions.
I don't understand how they can give my private property to somebody to live for free. I bought that property. I fixed it up with my blood, sweat, and tears.
You know why they're able to do that? Because guess what? The banks pay the lobbyists. They're part of the lobbyists, and they're the ones that are paying the politicians. And guess what? Politicians, they ain't getting off that money because guess what? The more money that they keep, the more surplus there is in the budget, and guess where that money's going into? Right into the pockets of the politicians that we voted in. I don't understand why we put up with this here in the United States. I'm not talking about, you know, another revolution. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying, it's like, oh, the banks, we can bail them out, but when it comes to us, yeah, we're just SOL. S out of luck.
The policies were meant to protect vulnerable renters during the pandemic, but some property owners say they have become collateral damage.
One thing that's very clear is we have no housing safety net.
Vincent Reyna, a housing policy expert and professor at the University of Pennsylvania, co-authored a new report showing that nearly 10% of landlords around the country collected less than half of their rent in 2020. Small landlords owning fewer than six units were most affected.
We're forcing low-income households and owners to essentially bear the cost of that in this current moment. And that's unfair to both parties.
Why is the news not bringing up the banks? Look, I do a shitty-ass podcast from a Ford F-150 in Volusia County, Florida, in a place called Oak Hill. That's so small, we don't even have a police force here. So what I'm trying to say is, how can I be the ones that bring this up? How can I be the one to bring this up and the news is not bringing this up? Why are the banks not having to do their part? Because the reason that there's the pressure on the landlords is because of the banks. Shouldn't the government be telling the banks, hey, you need to just hold up and just wait a minute and just chill out. We'll get the money to you when we can.
I feel bad that I would have not been able to pay her.
Carla MacArthur is Lacoste's tenant. With child care costs for her daughter and an autistic son, she says she can't pay rent.
Dude, she went with the autistic son gimmick. And I'm not saying that people come up. Everybody's a little autistic. I know that I am. I'm on the spectrum. I can almost guarantee you that I'm on a little bit of the autistic spectrum. But also at the same time, I mean, if you straight up say, oh, I got a kid that, you know, has a disability. Oh, you get sympathy. Like, you're baby facing and you're kind of being the heel if you know what people are talking about. But if this woman feels bad, if you really, really feel bad that you can't pay rent, why are you not offering the landlord, hey, come stay with us? I mean, technically, it is your place. I know that if I was the tenant, by the way, my favorite doctor that ever played the doctor in Doctor Who, David Tennant. But if I was the tenant, I would be like, you know what? I feel bad for this landlord that I haven't paid. Hey, do you want to stay? I mean, might be a little tight. My autistic son might annoy the F out of you, but I mean, it's better than nothing. So I'll help you out since, you know, I haven't been paying you. I mean, that's the only thing that I could say to the tenants. If you wanted to be like, hey, I'm sorry I can't pay, but I don't want to go anywhere because the law says I don't have to, but come on in. It is your house.
We've gone from two incomes. I have had COVID-19 twice. My kids all have had it once. My husband's had it once. We've been affected by the virus.
MacArthur has been approved for rent relief in New York, but the state hasn't paid Lacoste yet. So far, New York has sent about 8% of its federal allotment of $2.6 billion relief dollars directly to landlords.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. If I lived in New York, I would be furious. I would be furious. 8% of $2 billion? Come the fuck on. Where is that money going to? Why are the reporters not going down to Cuomo or whoever the governor is now or the mayor of New York City and knocking? Hey, sir, we need to find out where the other 92% of the $2 billion with a B. I don't want you to be confused and think that it's a million. No, it's a billion. Where's the other 92% at? Please, we need to know. You're an elected official, and you should be answering some questions.
I'm not sure what she may do when the moratorium's lifted. That's what I'm afraid of being homeless.
Two families trying to avoid the same fate.
I invested in these properties never thinking I wouldn't have a place to live.
Well, I was going to make that. You know what? I'm going to make it anyways. Maybe you should stop investing in some of those Camel cigarettes because your voice is deeper than mine, and I have a very feminine voice. So, like, I don't know. I'm automatically, whenever you hear a woman with a deep voice, do you guys automatically go that, oh, yeah, that bitch is smoking like a pack a day? That's exactly where I go.
On opposite sides of a looming crisis.
I just want my house. That's it. I just want my house.
Yeah, that's definitely a pack and a half a day. And I don't mean to call out like Camel cigarettes. I mean, it could be Marlboro Reds. She may rip the filters right off to be able to get that deep sounding voice. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should just run into burning buildings as a volunteer fire department firefighter and just breathe in all the tar and all that stuff, and maybe, just maybe, I will have a deep enough voice just like this woman. Gonna take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. If you want to find me everywhere online, you just need to go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E.net. If you listened to yesterday's show, I was talking about how I've been eating a lot of beets, a lot of pickled beets. I ended up, I've been pickling hard-boiled eggs and pickled beets, and it's been really, really good. But like with any other thing that I do in my life, I have a very, very addictive personality, and I went to go, and I'm not trying to be graphic or gross or anything, but I went to go use the bathroom, and I freaked out. I freaked out immediately because I was like, oh, crap. Something has been broken inside of my intestines or my body, because it looks like straight out of the movie Psycho, because there's just, I'm bleeding out of my butthole right now. And come to find out, I'm reading. Yes, eating a lot of beets can make your poop a little reddish color, if you know what I'm talking about. Especially, I mean, we all do this, even though you guys will not admit it. We all look at the toilet paper after we wipe. We just do it. And when the toilet paper is just like bright red, and the first thing that goes in your head, oh no, this is it. That Zantac that I've been talking about. Been seeing all those commercials about Zantac causing cancer. This is it. I got the cancer. I don't have long to live. What am I going to do with my life? Da 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 da. And then I remember, oh yeah, idiot, you ate a bunch of beets the night before. And it really did freak me out. And the last thing you want to do is go on to like WebMD and it just search any type of symptom at all. It always leads to cancer. It does. But guess what? Now that I know that it was the beets, I'm still going to eat them. Still going to eat the hell out of them. But I also don't understand, like, does your body not like digest some of that stuff? It's like the same thing. Why do we even eat corn? Corn on the cob, or just, you know, corn cut off the cob, just corn in general. Why do we eat corn when it seems like our body just does not digest it very well? And like I said, I'm not trying to shock jock, not trying to be gross or disgusting or anything like that, but like, why do we even bother to eat corn when it's always going to be in our fecal matter? No matter how well we chew it up. Like, I chew and chew and chew my corn. Not the corn that's in my poop, but the corn when I eat it. Because I wanted to run an experiment. I wanted to be like, I chew. I chew corn up as well as I can. And guess what? That stuff is always in my bowel movement. So why do we even bother to even eat corn when it seems like our body's just like, all right, we don't want nothing to do with that. We're just going to pass it right along, going straight to the front of the line. You know, skip go. Don't go directly to jail. Just get out of here because we don't want you in our body. But the beets, I got to tell you, I've been on this new kick. I've been eating a little turmeric with every meal. I've been doing the cinnamon and lemon with a little bit of honey and water. That's been helping me out with my food cravings. And I've also been doing the apple cider vinegar. They say apple cider vinegar is supposed to be good in getting rid of some of that stubborn body fat that you get. And remember, I drink a lot. Plus, I also drank a lot of, well, not drank a lot of, but I took a lot of pills. I've done a lot of stuff in my life that it's going to make it a little bit harder for me to get rid of that last little bit of body fat. Wanted to play a quick story for you guys. Everybody's been going about the big mask mandate, about all the Republicans. You know, all the Republicans that talk about, oh, you're not allowed an abortion. You're not allowed an abortion. But guess what? You can't tell my kid that they got to wear a mask. No, what they do with their body, what they do with their kids is A-okay with me. But when it comes to an abortion, nope, can't get that done. I do think this next story that I'm about to play, I guess a teacher taped some face mask to some kid's face. And let's be honest, I've been playing a lot of news stories lately that they just really, really do not get it right. So who knows? These kids could be complete dicks to the teacher. Told everybody about how we, like, basically got our geography slash history teacher to quit, the one that was deaf, that we would, like, whisper until he turned up his hearing aids, and then we would, like, yell, and we would just basically act like complete little a-holes. Well, I could see where teachers would be driven to taping a mask to their face, but I'm also not a parent. I don't know how I would feel. I don't think my dad, if he was still alive, or my mom back in the day, would have been too appreciative if a teacher would have taped a face mask to my face. But I got to tell you, if I was being a dick and my dad found out that I deserved it, you know what? My dad actually gave permission to the teachers that if I was acting out, that they could whip me. They could whip me with a paddle if they wanted to. And that's why I kept in line. I tried to cause the least amount of problems that I could.
I was furious. I was scared for my son on what kind of like long-term effect it's going to have on him socially.
Look, trauma is trauma, but give me a break, man. Like, seriously, you realize you want to talk about trauma? What about making varsity baseball as a freshman? And you go up to the coach, you're like, coach, where you want me at? You're all enthusiastic, you're ready to play, and you know what the coach says? Points at the bench. He says, go sit in the dugout, because that's where your ass is going to be at all year long. Think about that. Think about that being told to you as a freshman in high school varsity baseball, that your ass is going to be there. And then to top that off, when you finally do get your first appearance as a pitcher, a starting pitcher, before you even throw your first pitch, they've already got somebody in the bullpen warming up, because that's how much faith your teacher has in you. You know how I got my underwear ripped off of me during a field day, because the baseball team, when you were a freshman or a rookie, they would rip your underwear off of you, give you a wedgie so bad they would rip your underwear right off of you. And at that time, you know, we talked about, like, look, I'm above average when it comes to penis size, but I'm also not a shower, definitely a grower. I know, I hate it. Makes me sound like a real douchebag when I use that phrase. But my penis came out whenever they were ripping the underwear off, and I was the laughing stock for quite some time. You know, I also had a big, humongous head that people would come up to me and they would call me headquarters, and they would walk up and they would salute me, and they'd be like, Private such and such reporting to headquarters, and they would salute me because I had a big head. So let's not talk about, I don't know if my kid's going to be able to handle having a face mask taped to their face. You know what? Get the fuck out of here with that.
The fact that the entire class was laughing.
Pretty much the whole high school was laughing when my penis came out whenever I got wedgied so bad that they ripped the underwear off of me and were calling me Pinky D. You do the math. Like I said, I'm above average. I'm very proud with what I have. So let's not talk about that. But the whole class was laughing at me about that. And did. Look, maybe it did traumatize me, but I went through way more traumatizing things early on in my life. So maybe that's why I was well adapted to taking that type of ridicule in high school.
This mom of a fourth grade student at Reedham Elementary in Mountain's Edge says his substitute teacher stepped way over the line when the 9-year-old failed to properly wear his mask in class.
He went to get a sip of water, forgot to put the mask on. Teacher then.
I mean, that's a great defense. Did the lawyer give you that one? And look, I'm not saying that this woman is lying, but I mean, it is a bunch of he said, she said BS. And we've all known those kids that will lie their asses off, and the parents will believe every single thing that they say, even though everybody, all the classmates knows that the kid is lying through his teeth, but the parents will be like, not my kid. I take care of my kids. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Did not tell him to put it back on or send him to the office. She instead pulled him up in the front of the classroom in front of all of the students, and she then taped the mask across the top of his face.
The mom says the sub added a second layer of tape from his nose to his forehead, and with tape still on his face, he went to the office to pick up homework he'd forgotten at home and his dad dropped off.
I bet that little son of a bitch added a piece of tape when he knew that he had to go see his dad. He was going for the sympathy. I'm just saying, look, I know substitute teachers are not like a part of the varsity. You know how I said I made varsity as a freshman? I was like a substitute teacher back then. Like, I didn't have a lot of experience. Kids, you know, kids push buttons now. They all got their phones. They're all wanting to go viral. They're all wanting to be TikTok famous. They're all wanting to be Instagram famous. So, yeah, I could easily see where one of these little son of a bitches wanted to be a dick and put the extra tape on there just to get things stirred up.
When he went to the office to pick up that homework is when one of the administrators noticed the tape on his face.
Alarmed, that administrator took the tape off of the child and alerted the principal, who went to the classroom to investigate, filling out this report.
And she saw another student, who she thought was my son, with tape on their face as well.
You know what? Sounds like a bunch of kids that just can't learn, that you don't want to mess around with this substitute teacher. Hey, guess what, dude? You got Mr. Davis? Yeah, Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, if you don't wear your face mask correctly, Mr. Davis is going to put tape on your face. What kind of tape was it? Because if it was scotch tape, get the F out of here. Scotch tape is nothing. Now, if you're using like Gorilla tape or duct tape, then, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. But scotch tape, get out of here with that. Scotch tape could easily be removed. And you know what? It was just a sign of just power. You know how every once in a while we'll do a drone strike on some like third world country that gets out of line, that thinks that they're on the same level of us? Yeah, we just shoot a little Tomahawk missile right up their ass just to get their attention. That's exactly what this substitute teacher was doing.
This mom later asked her son had other students also had their masks taped to their face. He said yes. It's been happening in his classroom since the beginning of the school year.
I would not, if I had a kid, I would not be down for this. Look, that's my job as a podcaster or broadcaster, is not to play devil's advocate, but just to let you look at both sides. Because a lot of these broadcasting, especially local TV broadcasters, they don't ask the simple questions. Like, I did not hear that reporter once ask, has this teacher ever had any other issues? Were the kids being bastards? That's the thing about it, is that you as a reporter, you can't interview a minor without the parents, go ahead. So you're kind of at a disadvantage. It is a big he said, she said stuff. But like I said, growing up as a kid, this is before we had cell phones and before we could even become viral and stuff. We were complete dicks to our teachers. It's just the way that we were. And kids are in that, like, mob mentality. Like, once you see one guy throwing a Molotov cocktail during, like, a peaceful protest, everybody else is like, oh, I got to throw a big flaming bottle through a plate glass window. Let's start messing some stuff up. It is a mob mentality when it comes to this whole stuff. So let's get down to the bottom of this. But I also, as a parent, if I did have kids, I'd be extremely pissed off. If my kid wasn't doing anything right and he did go and get a drink of water out of the water fountain and forgot, and then the teacher wanted to tape him to his face. I mean, really though, scotch tape, not a big deal. Kid could rip that off immediately. Now, if we're talking about duct tape or Gorilla tape and he's got his hands tied behind his back, and it's taped on there pretty solid. Like, if you know me, the BT Cruiser I have had the same piece of Gorilla tape holding up my tail light for the past, like, I would say going on 5 years now. And guess what? That Gorilla Tape still holding on strong. Anyways, guys, gonna take off. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.